Bring Christian greetings to each one here this morning. I found it a blessing to be here already. Just pondering about the Lord's Day. God knew what He was doing. He knows everything. He does everything right. And yet, sometimes, I just need to be reminded, sitting here this morning, hearing the Word of God, singing songs of praise to the Lord, is something about our hearts we need to be reminded. I do. As much as we purpose that not to be a leaky vessel, I think we need to do that, yet I find myself, there's little leaks here and there. And coming together this morning, it's just another reminder how I need the Lord and how I need the brethren. We heard that Friday evening also. I'd like to glean just a few thoughts from that last song. Touch me as we were singing that. 356. Near, still near. Close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. I believe that's where we all desire to be and purpose in our hearts. That's where we want to be. But then it gives some other thoughts here, how that needs to happen. Near, still near, nothing I bring, not as an offering, to Jesus my King, only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Near, still near, Lord, to be thine, sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Near, still near, while life shall last. And that's why we're here this morning. Our life has lasted to this day. While life shall last, till safe in glory, my anchor is cast, through endless ages ever to be, near my Savior, still near to thee. Near my Savior, still near to thee. You know, we're not home yet. We're still in this body of clay. We're still on this side of eternity. And I trust, as we're here today, that we have already been instructed. And we have already been, we can grow what we've heard on faith and trusting the Lord, the children's lesson, and the songs. But there is something that I feel that we can so easily miss. And as we sit here under the sound of the gospel, we can miss God speaking to us. The Bible says there in Hebrews, if the word is not mixed with faith, as we heard this morning, it's not going to profit us. How much do I want to glean from the Lord today? And I believe it's up to us. God puts that in our hand as a vessel, as an option there, as a tool that we can use, how much we're going to grow today. So let's not let the word depart from us, but let it take a hold in our hearts. For those of us who can, I'd like if we could just kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne of grace this morning hour. Lord, we thank you that you are on the throne, that you are in control of this universe, and you are in control of our lives. And yet, you give to us the choice to choose between good and evil. Father, we're here this morning in great need of you. Great need of your cleansing through the blood of Jesus. Lord, that our hearts can be free, they can be pure, they can be free from sin, and so that your word, it can take a hold in our hearts and bear root there and bring forth fruit unto your glory and your honor, even 100-fold, Father. Father, we just ask that you would come and bless each and every one here from the youngest to the oldest today. Lord, that our hearts could be encouraged in you. You would come and teach us of your word, Father, and break the bread of life, that it could be nourishment unto our needy souls. Father, we just want to give you the glory and honor because thou art worthy. Be with your children scattered abroad the face of the earth, those that are maybe traveling. Be with Dirks and Ruth. Bless them as they go. Father, give them wisdom and grace and direction. And each one, Father, your children scattered abroad, Lord, be with them and bless them today. We just commit our lives now to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to speak this morning out of a passage in the Scripture. I felt the Lord has kind of opened my eyes there. You don't need to turn there right now. In Isaiah 62, as I look at the church, titled The Church, the Spotless Bride. And not speaking so much as of the function of the church this morning, but as I looked, I read over Isaiah 62, I seen so much of a pattern of today of what we are facing right in our time. And like I said, we're not home yet. You know, here we are, trusting God is working in our hearts and lives. And, you know, sometimes God just needs to prick us some more to get us to the place that our hearts are fully surrendered to Him. And I'd like to turn to a few thoughts there in Luke. What was happening there when John the Baptist came on the scene there, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and God was using him. Luke chapter 3, it says, he was preaching there in verse 8. It says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? If you and I are here this morning with that kind of a heart, then God can speak to us. What shall we do then? And he had an answer for each one that had those questions. He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Now there's something here in verse 15 I'd like to take note of. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. I feel that's a key there for you and I. If we are in expectation, and we are, in a sense, kind of on the edge of our seat, wondering, why does God want to speak to me? Versus just, we're just full and we're content and just relaxing the casual Christian life. We are not going to glean what we will if we're in expectation. That's not really the message, but I thought that, you know, if I can just glean from that, I had to think of the 10 days or so that we had the tent meetings. God is speaking to different needs in my heart, and I trust there's many here. Maybe I trust all of us. God did speak to. But what is that doing in my life now? And I find myself, I just thought this last week, you know, I feel I've slipped just a little bit from one of the purposes I had in my heart and just need to be reminded again. I don't want to let those slip away. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, a time in Israel's, the history of Israel that was not very pretty. I'd like to read the chapters, only 12 verses, and then go back and glean some thoughts and go through some of that. Try to make applications to our day today. Verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and the land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. I'd like to look at verse number 1. How much of a passion do we have for God's testimony of purity and holiness? As we see the hand of God here, God's prophet Isaiah speaking of Jerusalem and of the beauty that was once there and was lost at this time in a major way. And this was not to the Amorites or to the Moabites and to the heathen out there. It was to Jerusalem, the people that were a called out people to be God's spotless people. But how much of a passion do we have for God's testimony? Am I resting? Am I satisfied? It says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. Do I have a passion for purity and holiness in the church of God? I trust as we're here this morning, God is doing a deeper work in our hearts. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. God is a jealous God. As we read many places through the Bible, he will not share his glory with another. He will not. He cannot. He will not share his glory. You can hold your fan there if you want. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just glean a few thoughts there. Very familiar verses of God's purity and his design for holiness in the church. I'm sorry, I am wrong. Is it 2 Corinthians 6? If I'm not mistaken, sorry about that. There it is. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, is talking about light and darkness. And then in verse 16, it says, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore, chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There it is. Are you there? Am I there? God is still working on me, and I need him to work on me. I need the brothers to be there for me. And you know, sometimes if we're not careful, if we're not lifting up that standard, and we get tired in this life, and our hands start hanging down, and we come to a place of despair or discouragement, it's a very dangerous, vulnerable place to be. And I had to think of that verse, you don't need to turn there, that account where Acts 27:15, where Paul was there, and they just let the boat drive. They just let her go. And what happened, it wrecked to pieces. That was God's design. Everybody could be saved there. But we can be doing that same thing if we fall in that trap. We just let her drive. That's a terrible place to be. Let us not ever come to that place, but let us lift up God's standard in our hearts. What happened anyway, where the children were at this present state, we'll turn to a few scriptures of to get a little insight of what was happening in Jerusalem at the time that Isaiah, the time of Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 3. There were some awful things going on, and we'll look at a few scriptures in Ezekiel also. If I say some words wrong, please pardon me. Maybe you have to correct me. I forgot my glasses this morning. So please correct me if there is a mistake. Isaiah chapter 3 in verse 1 says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of the 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator." Those things were taken away. They weren't there anymore. Isaiah was there, but where were the people? Where were the singers? That many times the temple doors were closed. It was so full of idolatry and other things, wicked things going on. They closed the temple doors and walked away from God. Then there was mighty reforms where God worked mightily and brought the people back again. Time of Hezekiah and Josiah and many of those that sought God with all their heart. In verse 8, 12, and 16 in Isaiah chapter 3, it gives us a little more insight. Says, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory." Verse 12. "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee to cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." We see what was happening to the men, we see what was happening to the women. And verse 16, we see what was happening to the daughters of Zion. "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks, wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet." I think I'll stop reading there in chapter 3. There's a lot more it could be read. But what is happening today? What are the things that we are challenged with the most? That these voices that are out there, we see a lot of things going on today, the fashion, the pride, and that verse haughty there is to be high, exalt, promote, or proud. And you put in there whatever God puts in your heart, whatever that might be. It varies in each of our lives. But we're all tempted with those things. Ezekiel chapter 16. A few more things. There's many things were written there, but a little more insight into what was going on at the time of Isaiah the prophet. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. I'm going to stop there a little bit. Jesus talked about Sodom. He talked about Gomorrah. He talked about Capernaum. He said that if the works that had been done in thee, they would have long time repented. And we look at Sodom, and God rained down fire and brimstone, destroyed everyone that was there. But he said, if the works that were done here when Christ was in the earth, they would have repented. But here, it says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Give some likeness to Samaria and how that they walked away from God. And he was saying here that Judah was even worse than all of them. So we look at the awful state that this was in, that Jerusalem was in. But where are we today? Where is the church today? Is it pure? Are we striving for purity in our hearts? Now we like to look at a little the opposite here. The temple at the time of Solomon's dedication, we'll come back to Isaiah 62 in a little bit. A very familiar account how the ark was brought in and then Solomon prayed. I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 to see what Isaiah really was talking about. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 38 to 42. This wasn't the only time that God answered by fire, but this is one time. This is Solomon was praying here. It was a long prayer. Just start in at verse 38. It says, if they return to see with all their heart, to thee with all their heart, and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Do you think Daniel was familiar? Was that written during the time of Daniel? He fit right in there. We heard about Daniel last Sunday. I believe day after day, Daniel prayed toward Jerusalem. Verse 39. Then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place. Thou and the ark of thy strength, let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. And let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. And we see right after that, God came. It says now in chapter 7, now when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. How much of God's glory do we want in our lives? But see, there has to be a cleansing. God cannot dwell where there's sin. There has to be a clean place for him to dwell. And that's what happened here. The sacrifices were made. The priests, I believe, were cleansed. I didn't read over that whole account there. But things were happening. And then in verse 14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That's available today, just as well as it was back in that day. But we must turn to God with all of our heart. Serve with all our mind, soul, and strength. And just a few more thoughts on that, the cleansing, the examples that God gave. The first one I can think of is where the children of Israel came to meet God. Maybe I should ask, who can remember the first time, or what in your mind was the first time there was a requirement of cleansing before meeting with God? Anyone have an answer for that? Brother Joel. That's the first one that came to my mind. There was something new here, something different. God was going to come speak to the people. And he said, go prepare yourself. I think he had 3 days there, wash your clothes. And he just gave him some practical things of cleaning up, getting rid of the filth and the dirt, so that when God comes, they're prepared. And as they're in the tabernacle then, at a later time, God said, there will I meet with you, is between those cherubims that were there on top of the mercy seat. There will I meet with you. And that's the same way it is for us today through Jesus Christ. That's where we meet with him. But it's not with filth. It's not with sin. There must be a clean heart. So as we do that, I believe it needs to be a daily thing, not a casual approach to God, just thinking that it doesn't really matter how I come before him. You know, I find when I come to the gathering of the saints, it's a lot what I have prepared in my own heart is what I receive. And God wants to do much more than that. But it's not just a casual approach unto God. It takes a transformed heart, new birth. Now let's turn back to Isaiah, looking more at the getting examples from the church there. Verse 2 talks about the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name. I believe a transformed life, a transformed heart. You know, at times that God is trying to speak to us, and I don't know how it is for you. We have habits. Many of them, you know, are from our youth, our childhood up. It's amazing how habit-formed we are. But where there's bad habits, God wants to cleanse them and change those things. Just for a little example, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of effort to change our habits. God wants to help us, but we have our part to do to go forth by faith. And that as we heard, that works in faith will do something to us. And he said, be not as the horse or as the mule. They have to be led around with a bridle. But as we see also the horse, we're used to seeing that around here. Many of them, they're just doing their job. It's an amount of great strength there. Is it in the field or pulling the buggy over the hills or whatever it is? They're trained to do their job. And so somebody put time in them. Recently, we have this colt at home, and I've never raised a colt before, but they have to be trained. They're not worth a whole lot until they're trained. And little by little, it takes those habits. It takes that training. It doesn't just happen sometimes in a moment. Some may be trained very easily and some more difficult. The one this last week was, he was determined not to obey. He just kept bucking and bucking and pulling and had that rope tied to the mare and she would just pull him on. And he would be there fighting and fighting and sometimes throwing himself down just like little children many times. But give that about 45 minutes. After all, you can lead the colt with a rope, little by little. And so God sometimes has to work deeply in our hearts to get a hold of us to change our ways. And recently, as another example, I changed a towel holder at home in our bathroom because it was kind of inconvenient where it was. And this has been now close to a week, And I think, now I have purposed in my heart, I know which way to go. Instead of going to the right, I need to go to the left. You know, I still find when I'm not focused on that, I go the wrong way and I have to turn around. But we are habit-formed people. But God wants good habits, and to remove those old ones, that filth out of the way. Maybe it's not necessarily filth. Maybe it's just good things that are not, we're taking up our time instead of the best things in life. But God wants to help us to change that, a transformed heart, a new life. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Now verse 4, thou shalt be no more termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. And I don't know, probably some of you have been at a place like that. You know, I find in my own life, when I don't have faith, and I don't repent, and I don't get a hold of that thing, the light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And God's not going to just pull us out. We need to, by faith, look to the Lord and pray and seek His face with all of our heart. Maybe it's calling on a brother. Maybe it's something. But if we dwell on that thing and the light goes out, despair and discouragement set in and all hope is gone. But we need to cry out to God, because He is there. He wants to take us onward. He wants to pull us out of the miry clay. He wants to take us out of our valleys and set us in a straight place. It says, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. Who knows what Hephzibah means? Anyone know what that means, Brother Mark? It's the delight. My delight is in her, who are just strongs, but it's talking about God's people. My delight is in her. That's the name that God wants here at Faith Christian Fellowship. He wants it in each of our hearts personally. Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. I'm sure if I have that. Yeah, Beulah is to be master, to marry, have dominion, be a husband. You know, those of us who are married know about that. I don't think we'd be married to our spouse if we would not have delighted in her. And there are some that are looking forward to that. And there is the delight, there's an anticipation, there's something inside that there is a joy. And that's what God wants, delight in us. If our hearts are pure before Him, thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And I picture Isaiah in his prophecy just rejoicing in God's plan, even though here he was in the midst of a people that did not want to serve him, a people that said, we don't want to follow God. And yet here we have this, just a beautiful example. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, verse 5, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Now in verse 6, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, where it says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. I get a picture of the church, of God's bride. Something that's very beautiful, a picture of Jerusalem when there was peace, there was safety, little children could play there, there was no fear, the walls were in place, they weren't broken down, there was no breaches there, and they had a watch day and night. They would not keep silence if they seen enemy approaching, if they seen danger. They sounded the trumpet. It says, they keep not silence day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. It says, they should never hold their peace day nor night. Who are the watchmen that are over you and I? Do we realize that God has placed watchmen over you and I? Do we want them to be silent? Just to have itching ears? I trust not. I trust we desire to hear from God. But how much of my heart, in my heart, am I really wanting that? Or is there some independence there? Don't tell me what to do. Children, the watchmen over you are your parents. Open your hearts wide to them. Brothers and sisters, God has given us elders, given us shepherds. Can we open our hearts wide? It's a blessing. It's a blessing that God has given. Let's pray earnestly that God would help us not to be silent, but we be as those watchmen on that wall. I don't know how far away, just for an example, when Jerusalem was conquered, how far away they could see the enemy, but I believe it must have been quite a distance. And they fortified those gates. They did everything they could to keep that enemy out. But because of sin, God allowed them to come in. There's some horrible things happened there during that siege of Jerusalem. And we can read about, heard of some of that over the tent meetings. But I'm sure that they made sure that those bars were in place and those gates were not rotted. Those walls were standing strong. That's God's design for the church. Lord, help us. How am I helping to build that? Or am I tearing down? I have set watchmen over you. That word watchmen means to hedge about, to guard, protect, beware, circumspect, take heed, look narrowly, preserve, regard, or save. Upon thy walls, alertness, watching out for danger. Or am I just going about my life? Doesn't really matter. Just a casual approach day by day, kind of whatever comes, whatever new app comes out. Oh, well, it must be something good if it's there. Or am I building conviction? I feel that we're in a day and age and this explosion of technology. I don't know if we realize what we're actually, the day and age we're living. It's a dangerous time. We need to lift up the standard in our own hearts and in the congregation. Let's be careful. Maybe get into more of that. Let's read on down. And give him no, verse 7, give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Even though the storms are raging, things are happening all around us, am I willing to stand? Am I willing to stand? God gives grace, and he is looking for that in us. Even not to make our standard according to what else is out there, but according to his word. And to align it, to change that. You know, if we get off course, it doesn't take a whole lot. You take a compass or a thing with degrees. You know, it may just go a little bit and at a time. But you know the end. You give it some time, it could be a vast, vast difference. Sometimes, if we're not alert, we could take an example. There is destruction almost immediately, and other times it goes a long time before we may see it. Just for an example, down in Walnut Creek this last week, somebody that was not alert didn't see a stopped car ahead. I think it was about 3 vehicles involved, and I don't know if anybody got killed there. I've seen the marks as it went past. I think it was a semi rolling down through that flat and didn't see a car was stopped, couldn't stop. There's some terrible marks there. Those things, you know, if we're not alert, like I said, there can be a quick destruction sometimes in our decisions and choices. Sometimes we don't see it till it's way out there. Where we really see, if we're not alert, we really see the outcome of that. Lord, help us to be those redeemed, to be the sought out ones. verse 8, the Lord has sworn in his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for that for the which thou hast labored. And we see that many, many times in the children of Israel, where they fell into sin, take the time of the judges and on into the time of the kings, where when they sinned, God allowed their enemies. He actually raised up King Nebuchadnezzar to overcome Jerusalem because of their sin, so that they would repent. And you know, that's bondage. When we are not surrendered to God, that we are in bondage, if we realize it or not. It's like giving our corn or wine to others, our labors to others. Verse 10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. And I see just a beautiful picture in the church of God taking out the sin. You know, if there's sin, if there's hindrances, there's things that are dragging us down, cast out the stones, get them out of there, so that there can be a beautiful flowing relationship with our God. Let's get rid of the stones. Let's cast them out. Am I willing to allow a brother to speak into my life those stones that may be there? That's where the rubber really meets the road. Am I open to that? Verse 11, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation or thy health cometh, or prosperity. That example there is for spiritual prosperity and health. Thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. When Jerusalem was not forsaken, she was strong, something beautiful. God worked mightily through his people there when they were fearing him and walking in his ways. The redeemed, the sought out. Do I call this a privilege, or am I ashamed of the gospel of Christ? You know, there's just a lot of things that are very practical in our day. There always have been. But just daily life, you know, do I call it a privilege to carry a driver's license? We might think it's a right. You might find out if you think it's a right, that can be taken. And it is taken many times. Let's not look at privileges as a right, but we have a privilege to serve the Lord. We need to be faithful unto the end. Just because of what God did yesterday doesn't say we have a crown of glory awaiting us. We must be faithful unto the end. I trust that's, as we're here this morning, that is our heart's desire, is panting for that. And I just like to ask the question, open it up here for a little bit. What are some of the biggest hindrances, or what do we see as some of the biggest enemies towards the church in our day? Well, what are your thoughts? What are we facing today that are some of the pressures, some of the hardest pressures that the church is facing? Brother Joe, did you have a thought? I thought you may be raising your hand, but I think you do. Maybe you should have a mic just so others can hear. Religious freedom.
Or work with it, or have the grace of God to get through it. Mm-hmm. I can just pack up my stuff and go next door. You don't even have to move anymore. Mm-hmm. And that may sound strange, but if the churches were more, if our individual congregations were more precious to us, mm-hmm. and that kind of fellowship couldn't be found conveniently. Mm-hmm. Maybe our hearts would turn more to work together with each other and to stay and to resolve differences and have a heart for each other. I believe we do here. But if we don't, we only have to go a few blocks away. Mm-hmm. It'll be a little difference. But I think religious freedom hasn't worked for the church very well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Someone else? I mean, just in reality. Go ahead, Brother Reuben. Yeah, what are we facing?
I think a cousin to the religious freedom issue is prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
I just think of I think of all the tools and equipment that are available to us at maybe a cheaper price than they used to be, because mm-hmm. a lot of stuff's made in China these days. It makes so many more things available to us. We've got all kinds of tools, all kinds of equipment, all kinds of technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm one of those, you know, these real good quality, high quality cameras, you know, big ones, mm-hmm. are available to about everyone and anyone. Just that's just an example of the things that mm-hmm. would have been very pricey at one time, but now they're available, and just we really have to be reminded, you know, that whatever we have should be used for a purpose, mm-hmm. on purpose, because our hearts can go out to the things that we accumulate.
Amen.
God have mercy on us.
Appreciate that. Brother Joe, another thought here.
Obviously, what I said and what Brother Reuben's saying, and anything we point to, we're really not pointing to the main problem, obviously.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The main problem lies within our will, ourself, and not mm-hmm. dedicating ourselves fully to following Him.
Mm-hmm.
Fully to following Him. And since that seems to be the case, these other things work mischief.
Mm-hmm.
But our main problem lies within our own breast.
Yes. And with that, you know, money is not wrong in itself. The love of money is the root of all evil. We all deal with it. But if that's our heart, we're in for serious trouble. Any others? That's good. Brother David, over here.
I think of, you know, when we think of the body of Christ, it seems to me like if we were able to feel the members of the bodies of Christ like we feel our own body, maybe if we spent more time feeling how others are feeling,
mm-hmm.
Being more considerate of every part of the body, I think it would strengthen us. So I think a weakness might be a numbness, or just shutting off or shutting our bowels when we see those in need rather than mm-hmm. being filled with compassion. Maybe that's more of just a personal thing that I'm dealing with. But
mm-hmm.
I think as it goes to what Joe was saying about we can just hop over to the next church or the next congregation. There is only one church in my mind. But and we don't have to feel what's happening
mm-hmm.
to the rest of the believers.
Amen. I feel that's so true. If we lose preferring others above ourselves, we don't have the mind of Christ. We need to just recognize that. I think we'll continue on. Thank you very much for sharing that. And I guess I was just, as a good reminder to me, is to see what Sodom's sin was. Fullness of bread, idleness. I think it was something else that I forget right now. But see, if we don't have purpose of heart with the time, the 24 hours that we have, our waking hours, we're going to find something to exercise our minds. Usually is not in a good way if it's not with purpose to serve the Lord. Because our minds keep going. It's not like when in our waking hours that in one sense, they kind of shut off. Now, seemingly, it always shut off. You have these dreams, and things still keep going. Sometimes, it's not really at our we're not really making decisions at that time, but in our waking hours, if we're not serving the Lord with purpose of mind, we're asking for trouble, really. And the other thing can happen so easy is we can become busybodies in other people's matters, and that's not good either. And so somewhere there needs to be a balance there of just, you know, with purpose serving the Lord and finding that contentment in Him and yet not being satisfied where we are, but continuing, wanting to continue on for more. And I think you can, you know, you and I can put in about whatever tool that may be available that we have, and it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. But the intensity of that has happened in the last few years where with the computers, is it in your pocket, is it in whatever computer it may be, is just unbelievable. I mean, you could spend the rest of your waking hours, the rest of your life, always being entertained. And then sometimes I find myself, you know, maybe it's not bad things, but it's just being, you know, mind just needs to keep going, and maybe it's taking care of the text messages or the emails, and I think all that is okay. But you put in there, where is your time going? What is it? Is my treasure really there after God? Because where time is going, that's what we're putting into our treasure. That's where our treasure is. Where's the passion of my heart? I'd like to turn to a few verses yet in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. It says, talking about the last days, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And prosperity can do that very, very quickly. If there's money available, am I putting it into myself, my pleasures? Nothing wrong with having an enjoyable time, but what is the passion of my heart? What am I going after? 1 Timothy 6, some admonition we have there. Very familiar verses about having food and raiment. Let us be there with content. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. We all know that. And it talks about, in verse 9 and 10, some very practical things. But they that will be rich, it's a choice, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, I like to look at verse 11 and 12 also. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'd like to just take a little look at, you know, what are things that we can be doing that are a blessing? And we talk about a lot of things that are, you know, that hinder us, but what are some things that you are doing, that I am doing, or as a church that we're doing, that lift us up, that encourage us? And I know there's a lot of things happening, but I like to say, let's just keep going. Let's not be satisfied, you know, where we are. The Bible speaks about the poor and the needy. Is it in our congregation? Is it in the nursing homes? Is it? You know, there's so many areas that you can be reaching out and doing something to use up our time as a purpose. You know, is it You know, for the girls, you know, writing a note to a sister as an encouragement, or I'm praying for you. I can't explain the value of what that does to me when a brother, just kind of out of random, just, brother, how's your day? Or, you know, just, I'm just praying for you. Or, you know, just maybe a verse. That is volumes. And I wonder, why don't I do it more? You know, just the little things in life that instead of, you know, your mind just keeping going, put it to something to use that's going to make a difference in someone's life. Investing in those treasures which cannot be taken away. You know, we need each other, and we see it so clearly if we are just take a little bit of time to view in the body of Christ how those gifts vary so much. We talked this morning about the list for cleaning. And, you know, my brother's meeting, we talked about different things. You know, it's just amazing. One brother has this gift, another has that gift. And if those things are there to complement each other and we find our place that the Lord has given, what a blessing. But if we're there envying and jealous of somebody else's gift, you know what that does? It brings some terrible strife, and we don't want that, and yet we're faced with it. Am I willing to accept? Am I willing to be blessed? And there's many, many other things that we can do, you know, to be a blessing. But taking time in the Scriptures, how important is that to you and I? How familiar am I with the sword? Is it really precious to me? It's amazing that if we saturate ourselves in this word, to whatever degree it might be, how God uses that, you may never know. When you face a temptation or a trial, you face a situation out on the streets or whatever it may be, if the word has been hid in your heart, that is the power of God working in and through us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And the sword as our protection. Maybe somebody else has a thought. I guess I'll let that up to you to share. I would like to hear, you know, what are some things that we can be doing as the body of Christ that it can really be a blessing? Or when we see dangers, warnings, you know, how can we apply that in a practical way that the body here can prosper? There's just so many things, and I feel I have so much to grow, so much need in my own life, and I need you brothers to help me. So pray for me. Let's pray for each other. So God be with you. Bless each one of you abundantly. And let us be as that beautiful testimony there in Isaiah 62. Other chapters in Isaiah, arise, shine, for thy light is come. I look at Isaiah in his time, he could have just despaired, but he rose up, he seen God's plan, and he wasn't going to stop. He was going to keep right on going, even though most of Jerusalem was living in wickedness and idolatry. So the Lord bless you. Let us keep going.